being here, and just thank you so much again for allowing to be here. And but I love what Pastor said. As a friend, my children and of course my wife, they are as much of a missionary as I am. Amen. And I'm very grateful that I have children that love want to serve God. And very grateful my son Justin. He loves to play piano. Amen. Amen. And he don't want to teach me. I don't know why. Amen. And I guess I can't read music that well. But Andrew, our second son, he helped, I think a couple of years ago, he helped one of our single missionary. He taught, my son helped taught him to read the Cambodian language. And that's when he was 12, 11 or 12. And now he looked like he's 31 and about my size. Amen? Well, I better not say too much negative. He's going to beat me up. But he has self-proclaimed Khmer expert. That's all we like to say. And I'm embarrassing him now. But I'm thankful that my children, they both my son, I let them go out to the village with me on Saturday. And both of my son, they're very involved with a teen ministry every Friday. Every Friday we have a teen ministry. Varavanat, one of our national preachers, he's doing a great job. The guy is a tremendous preacher, pastor. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, some of those our men, our national leader, and their preaching, I'll be honest, I really admire them for their preaching, their passion, great soul winner. But if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 8, and I'm thankful we have the same spirit, God, and Pastor asked a question about Philip earlier, and Pastor had no idea I would want to talk about that. So, good. And we're going to talk the value of one soul. I'm going to read in the Cambodian language. I know, don't worry, I won't go over time. The word, the Khmer language, how you pronounce, how you say acts is kaika. It means more like work. The word act is translated the work of the apostle. So they translate it to kaika. Let me find it. I think the Khmer language, I think very similar to the Thai language. In fact, if you don't look at the history of the Khmer language, a monk about, I don't know, several hundred years ago, because the Cambodian back then, the Cambodian didn't have their own language yet. He went to study in Thailand, and brought back the alphabet and helped teach the people the alphabet. And he invented the Khmer language. It was a monk. Because back several hundred years ago, the people that educated are monks, and they're very educated, and they learn all kind of language, and they would bring it back to their country and teach the people the language. And he actually went to Thailand to study the language, and they brought it to Cambodia. I don't remember a couple thousand years ago or several hundred years ago. Don't remember exactly. But Acts chapter 8, okay, verse 26 to 40, and talk about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, okay? And I don't want to take too much time, so I'll just read a couple of verses in Khmer, and then I'll read the rest of it in English. Verse 26, Nuk Tevada Nei Priyong Mecha, Mie Mantu Tau Pili Tha, Chow Krak Lang Tau Ai Khang Thubong, Tam Plow Da Chow Phi Krong, Jerusalem, Tau Ai Krong Gaza, Da Chia Ti Roha San Tau, Kwat Ko Krak Lang Da Tau, Nuk Khoi Mien Sa, A-T-U-P Mane, Chia Manu Kam Rio, Da Mien Om Nai Krong Prenien Kak, Kandes, Mahastai, Dao Sairi Knong Song, ATUP. Lojin Truatra, Le Ostian Prerich, Trot Robot Stike. Hai Ban Mao Akron Jerusalem. Da Bainan Twai Bangkum. Lokum Pong Tai Chi Rot Trolapto Tawin. Komurkampi Hora Esai. Kanatnu Previn Yen Trong. Mimantu tau pilipta, aoi chou tau, prokiet nung, rot nu tau. Piliko rot tau tam, lu lo kampong tai mien mer kampi, hora esai, rui su ta, lok mer yo te, rute. Ok. Okay, you guys understand that? Amen. That's what it sounds like. And let me read the rest of it. I don't want to take too much time. But verse 31, only got to verse 31. And he said, "How can I accept some man? Accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he would come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. Okay, that's your answer to the question, amen? And passing through, he preached in all the city till he came to Caesarea. Okay, let us pray. Father, Lord, I just thank you so much for this time I have. I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me, Lord, and help me to say only the thing that you want me to say, Father. I pray you speak to hearts. And speak to our heart, Father, and help us to be more like Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Give me a second. Get water. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the value of one soul. And before I get started, I want you to think about, okay, even yourself, if you've been saved already, and think about the people or the circumstances that God used to get your to be open to the gospel and to get you saved. I want you to think about that. Okay? God, of course, God loves each and every one of us. Everybody in this whole world. And the Bible tells us clearly it's not God's will that any should perish,
right,
but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
You know, God wants every single person in this world to be saved.
Amen.
To repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
To repent and believe the gospel. God desires that everybody.
Amen.
Doesn't matter if you're Americans, you're Cambodian, you're from Thailand, you're from Africa, from China. I'll be honest, every time I think about China, 1.3 billion people. And I think about the communists there in China. And it breaks my heart, I'll be honest with you. And when I think about even here, people in America, as missionaries, we see all kind of towns. We've been through all kind of towns, cities. And you'll hear in America, even more and more, there are Americans out there that never heard of Jesus, don't know of Jesus. Seriously. Now, 50, 60 years ago, almost basically everybody in America know of Jesus, at least they know of Jesus. But now, more and more, I'll be honest with you, when we go door knocking different cities, there are people that have no idea who Jesus is. Okay? But let me get to the message. God was able to send Philip. And you might think he's sending him to a big town, a city by the ocean. No, he sent one guy, Philip. God was able to use one guy to go tell, to show one person, to explain him the scripture in Isaiah. Okay, to show him how to be saved. Okay, just the one guy. But God loved that gentleman, that one guy, that Ethiopian eunuch. Just one person. And I want to remind you that maybe somebody out there are just like that Ethiopian eunuch. And, God God can use any one of us to help one person. God might send you, put you at a job, maybe to put you at that job to reach one person. God might send you to a city, to an area, maybe to help one person. The value of one. You know, every person is, they're so valuable to God. There's no amount of money, gold, diamond, like a pair that is equal to a man's soul. Every single one of us. And I think about that. This is amazing. It breaks my heart. Every soul is important to God. Amen. And God loves every soul. I think about, before I even get to that, I think about the two kids. I told a couple of churches already. But it's two children. I went to visit the ministry there back in July. But I think about these two kids, my brother and sisters, 7 and 9 years old, they were sold by their mom into slavery. 6, 7 years old. God loved those two kids. Right. Their aunt are saved. Their aunt brought them to church. And the little girl, she's never been loved. Because in a Cambodian culture, I'm going to tell you a little bit of Cambodian culture. Cambodian culture, the parent, they don't tell the kids, I love you, or hug the kids. Because they said, if you do that, that's a sign of weakness. That's a Cambodian culture. My wife and I grew up, we don't hate our mom now because we are saved. But we don't hear that all our life. Our parents, they don't do that to their kids. That's an Asian culture. Okay, they don't hug or say, I love you. They don't do that to kids. They hold back from praising their kids. And even there in Cambodia. Now they will demean their kids. If one, Andrew, Justin, come here. Let me see, if they have son, I mean, they'll tell you, if this guy is smarter and he's lighter than that guy, and they would say, oh, this he is good, he's handsome. And this other kid is, their other son is just a little bit darker. Oh, he's dark, he's not good looking. They'll tell up front. And seriously. It's very, just, and when they, our people get saved, we teach them that you love your kids. Amen. They're your kids. Okay. And God is not like that. Amen. Amen. God doesn't see our color. God sees our heart. God Amen. Sees our soul. And, my people are like that. Okay. Buddhism. They believe in Buddha. But their religion don't change people. See, but that's a culture my wife and I grew up in. Okay, you guys can be seated. Okay. But, let me get to the message. But God sent Philip to this one man. One man is open to God. Amen. One man that looking for truth. Amen. And you know, there's somebody out there, friend, that's just like him. Amen. I realize there's not many, but there's somebody out there. Amen. That is no different from, that's just like this Ethiopian eunuch.
Amen.
That God wants you to help. There's somebody out there. You know, God, pastor cannot reach everybody in the community. You know that. Okay? You and I know that. No one person can do everything themselves. Okay, the only person who can do everything himself is God. Okay, besides that, we all human beings, we need each other. Okay, we need each other. And if you want God to bless the church, you have to work as a team. But you have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Because God wants to use us to help somebody. To help somebody. Okay, God wants to use each and every one of us to help somebody. There's somebody out there that's no different. And let me tell you about myself. Okay. I'm thankful. I think about my testimony. I'm thinking about the people that God used. I think about Riverdale Bible Church. Now, when I was a little boy, come to America. Okay. When I told you, you know, you go into a new country, new culture, you get scared. Okay. And for us, I've never seen a white person before. Okay. When first time I saw a white person, I was like, whoa, how did you guys get that light? I just couldn't get that fair, and why am I like this? That's my first time seeing a Caucasian person, you see. But we were scared coming to America, but you know what? When God's people show their love, their kindness to us, and I look back and I say, wow, God is good. Amen. God's people are good. When I saw that love of God, how different American Christians would come to our apartment complex and would take us to their church, to the church. And I would get toys during Christmas. Amen. As kids, you love toys. Amen. But you know what? But I think about the people that God used to reach out to me. God used the different people, the churches. I think about a friend of mine in school, Kim Lin. She was Vietnamese. God used her to invite me to church. That's all she did. She invited me to church. Because she had no idea what I was going through. She had no idea that two different times I was so downtrodden, so depressed, and I said, God, if you're up there, please help me. To this day, I never had a chance to tell her. She didn't know that I was praying. I prayed to God two times. I said, God, I hate life, but I was not close to my mom or my brother. I said, God, if you're up there, please help me. I prayed that prayer. I said, God, help me. I did not know who God is. I just know that God's up there in my heart. Okay, as a teenager, I knew that there's a God up there. I already knew that statue in the temple, that's not God. I said, God is up there. But she didn't know, see? But God used her just to give me an invitation, see? I think about all the people God used to help me, reach out to me. That's how valuable you are, you and I are to God. Amen. He's always working behind the scene. Always working behind the scene. Okay? Let me go on. But first of all, why was God able to use Philip to reach this one man with the gospel? Why was God able to send Philip, use this Philip? Well, first of all, Philip was walking in the Spirit of God. Look what our Bible tells us. Okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. But Philip was already doing a great work in Samaria. Verse 5, he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And I want to encourage you always to have opportunity to always tell people about Jesus. Amen. Okay? Don't be ashamed of it. I will preach a message along that line this evening. But not ashamed of the gospel in Romans chapter 1. But the angel of the Lord sent to Philip saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. When returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. The Spirit of God. Hey, Philip, go near that chariot. And he went. He went. You know why God was able to use him? Because he was walking in the Spirit of God. He was full of the Spirit of God. And that's a constant, I realize that's a constant struggle for us as Christians. Amen. Okay, it's much easier to be in the flesh, I will tell you. It's much easier. But when you walk in the Spirit of God, God can use you to do great things.
Amen.
God can use you to do great things. When you walk in the Spirit of God, when God calls you, you will hear His voice. Amen. When you're in fellowship with God, you're walking with God, being faithful to God, reading your Bible, praying, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see? And because Philip was walking in the Spirit of God, God spoke to him. He obeyed immediately. Okay, let me go on. No, Philip walking in the Spirit of God, secondly, he was obedient and self-denying. Amen. Prompt to go wherever sent. He was ready to exchange a large field for a small one, Samaria, for a desert. Just think about it. He was preaching the gospel, people getting saved in Samaria, and God led him to a city in the desert. Okay. I my guy was living in a city like this in the desert, amen? And some of you have been here a long time. Okay. But wherever you at, friend, wherever God put you, God expects you and I to be responsible to people in that community.
Amen.
You see? We can't reach the whole world. And you know that, but I understand that that's why we have missionaries. Okay, you have a part in that. When people come over to get saved, you think about those people that share the testimony.
Amen.
Okay, what if my family did not obey God? What if I was not right with God? Okay, I think about Taiwan, the second family shared his testimony. He had three children. His apartment. It's just a one-room apartment. I think it's about $50 a month. The restroom, the kitchen, the bedroom, it's all there in one room. That's his apartment. He worked 15, 16 hours a day. He worked for Cambodian Chinese. There are a lot of Cambodian Chinese. They're good business. They make good money. And he worked 6 days a week. His only day off is Sunday. And he go to church on Sunday. And he's after morning service around 12 o'clock, he'll go back to his home village, about an hour away, And he's leading the church ministry. See, what if I did not obey God? I met Taiwan selling noodle on the street. He, back at that time, he worked a full-time job, and he get home, he sell noodle with a noodle cart, with his wok there, his pan, hot pan, clarified noodle, a noodle that you buy for like 25 cents, and they sell for 50 cents, 2,000 reel, 2,500 reel. That was 55 cents. And one of what me, sometimes I would like to buy things from people, just trying to build a relationship, get to know them, trying to get a conversation started. That's all I did, just buy a new, hey, I'm going to buy you new. Then I had an opportunity to give him a track.
Amen.
Just give him a track. He eventually got saved.
Amen.
His wife took a year, but when his wife saw her husband saved and changed, lived with God, she got saved to her husband, good time for her husband.
Amen.
He got saved. Instead of spending his money with his friend drinking, coming home and spending time with his family.
Amen.
She saw that in husband. She got saved also. Now they're both in church. They look like 14, 15 years old. Amen. But they actually, Taiwan is like 31, and Costa Rica came about 27, 28 years old. See, what if I didn't obey God? See, God has a specific people for you and I to help.
Amen.
For you and I, where nobody else could help. God, because God, that one person God is sending us to, that we are able to influence for God. So like, they took God used Kimberly and just to give me an invitation to church. I'd never been invited to anywhere before. When she invited me, I said, wow, you invited me? I was so touched. I said, you know what, I'll be there Sunday. But she didn't know God was already working in my heart. I was under great conviction already. And she didn't know that. All she did was give me an invitation. You see, I want to encourage you to challenge the same way. There's somebody you might not be able to show from the Bible witness yet, but maybe just give them a track. You see, we tell our people out there in Cambodia, carry a track with you all the time. Okay? And we always put the whole gospel in the track. I mean, most of it in the track. Tell them about Jesus, what the gospel is about. But let me go on. But Philip, God was able to use him. He was obedient, self-denying. God called him. He was willing to go from a city, a big city in Samaria, and God was doing a great work there, to a city in the desert. Okay, a small city. Okay, because he was walking in the Spirit of God. Just to reach one man.
Amen.
The value of one soul. But let me go on. Okay. He is aggressive, eager to get at his work. He's running to meet the one with whom he is to labor, and at once beginning the conversation without waiting for an invitation. He was very aggressive. He was eager to get to his work. God called him, was eager to it, running to it. Okay? Okay. Now, how many of you, if you ask your kid to do something, and they do it with a bad attitude, and they're dragging their feet, amen? You don't like that, right? Now, if they're happy to do it, man, if your kid happy to do it and they run to it, we might all have a hard time, isn't it? But I'm just kidding. I'm not saying nothing against my kids, but we might all have a hard time. But that's the way we should be to God. When God speaks to us, okay? When God speaks to our heart about helping someone, giving someone a track, inviting someone to church, or telling someone about Jesus, being sensitive to that, and not delaying, not procrastinating. Okay? But Philip, he was like that. He was aggressive. And God would use him because he was walking in the Spirit of God. He was aggressive. He did not wait for the eunuch to speak to him first. He spoke first. And that's what it takes you and I to help somebody. You know, sometimes I try my best. My personality is really not like that. I really have a melancholic personality, to be honest with you. I was a big time. My classmate in high school, one of my classmates, Carla Freeman, she called me, you're antisocial. Because when I got saved, I tried to learn, you know, and God used teenagers to break me out, Pastor. But, you know, I tried my best to talk to people in hotels, things like that. You know, I know it doesn't come naturally for me. It's not easy. But, you know, you and I, as Christians, if we're going to help people, we have to be friendly,
amen,
kind, thoughtful. You know, and not walking around like it's the end of the world or a dog just die, amen?
Yeah.
And no, as Christian, as a child of God, I don't have to walk around, you know,
come on and say, Mokju. That means a bit of faith. Okay. Mokju. Okay.
I don't have to walk around like that. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Friend, don't forget that. Okay. You're not a... Okay. Your King is not a human being. Your King and my King is the Son of God. He's the Creator of the universe.
Amen.
And you and I, every single person in here, you're a child. If you're a child of God, you're a child of the King.
Amen.
And we ought to walk and not forget that. We serve a great God. But let me go on. He is skillful. He speaks kindly and cheerfully to the Ethiopian. Okay. He is scriptural. He is practical. He is broad in his view. Recognize the privilege of Gentiles as well as Jews to be saved and baptized. He has no respect to a person. Okay. An Ethiopian eunuch, a doctor profession person. Okay. Be witness to him. Okay. I encourage you and I be the same way. I thank God. That's why I say it touched my heart when I go back. I think about the Christian that reached out to my family. They were not prejudiced. They love us.
Amen.
Okay, I remember one gentleman. I don't know his name. I wish I would remember his name, but he would come to our apartment complex and he would ask our mom and dad if we could go to his house, and we put us boys, because Asian parent, they will let their son go anywhere you want, that you take them. Okay, but their daughter, they won't let you take the daughter across the street. But the son, you can take him to another country, it's no problem. Amen. But that's how it was. It was all boys. And we we're talking our Cambodian lady. Hey, I need a new, we're getting a fight. But the gentleman, he put up with us. He never get mad at us. All he did was took us to his house, let us play with his kids' toys, give us cookies, milk to eat, and he took us home. That's all he did. And I never forgot that to this day. That kindness, you see, that thoughtfulness. And I want to encourage you, there's someone you could be nice to, you can show hospitality, and you can help them, and they can see the love of God in you. And it will open their heart to God. You never know. There's someone out there that value one. But Philip was, he helped everybody. Let me tell you a couple of things about the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was a sincere seeker of God. Okay. He was reading the Bible. He was a noble seeker, a man of high rank and many public cares, yet a humble follower of God. He traveled, they say that 1,200 miles to go to Jerusalem to worship. And he's like Lydia, like the centurion that worship God, but they're not Savior. They fear God. Okay. Like myself as a teenager, I knew there's a God up there, I just don't know who God is. Okay. And I want to encourage, there's someone out there like the Ethiopian eunuch. There's someone you can help. There's someone you can help, friend. God put you in somewhere, maybe at a job, maybe at your neighborhood. There's someone God want you to help.
Amen.
Okay? But the Ethiopian eunuch, he's a noble seeker and all that. He's a diligent seeker. Living 1,200 miles away, yet journeying to the temple and reading scripture on the road. He is a teachable speaker. He humbled himself. Philip, not a high-ranked guy, but he willing to let Philip show him the Bible. He was humble. He was teachable. And friend, I encourage you. There's someone out there you can help.
Amen.
I remind you. Someone out there you can invite. Maybe a family member. Maybe a somebody from school. Every time I go back to Georgia, I always try to visit my friend that I used to gamble with. Now, I don't go out gambling with them, but I try to tell them about God.
Amen.
Two of my friends, they confronted me. The two that used to mock me. And after I got saved 3 months, they confronted me, they mocked me, they said, why do you believe in American God? I try to tell them, no, Jesus is not American God. He's a true God, the only God.
Amen.
But they mocked me. They said, how do you know this Bible is real? after being saved 3 months, I couldn't explain to them. I almost want to beat them up, amen, for asking me that. But I'm out of time, but let me, I want to encourage you. God was able to use Philip just to reach one guy. Because he was walking in the Spirit of God. And God used Philip to reach this Ethiopian eunuch, just one guy that was seeking for God. I realize there might not be many out there, but there are some out there you can help. You can help. I got all kind of illustrations, but I'm out of time. But I want to encourage you, God loves each and every one. There's someone that you could help out there to value one soul. All the people God used to reach out to me, a lot of them, because God loves us.
Amen.
One soul is more important than anything in this world. And I always tell people in Cambodia, if you were the only sinner that needed Jesus, he would still come down to die on the cross for you.
Amen.
He would still come down from heaven. That's how valuable you are to him. And I want to, before we pray, I want to encourage you, if you are like this eunuch, you want to know the truth. You want to be saved. You don't know for sure you have a home in heaven. We can show you from the Bible. Okay? There's only one God. I came from a Buddhist country. A religious country. But religion can't save you.
Right.
Only Jesus can. Because Jesus is God. He's the only one who could die for you and rose again. You know, they still have the bone of Buddha in one of the cities in Asia. And they claim to have the finger bone of Buddha in Cambodia. But I'm glad Jesus is not in the grave. Amen? You won't find his bone in the grave. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.